Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 11 and beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts as we hear your word this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. I wonder if you could ask, Jesus any question that you wanted, what it would be. Anything. You can ask him for a please. You can give him a please explain. "Lord, why is this like this?" Or, "Lord, I really need." Well, I wonder what you'd ask Jesus. One question. What would yours be, Paul?
"Well, why did the Saints beat the Bulldogs last night?"
Why did the Saints beat the Bulldogs last night?
Well, serious question.
So we're going to talk about prayer. I'm not sure prayer will change that, but it says ask and you'll receive. You might get... Let me know how that one goes. What would you ask? What would you ask, Ian?
Why did he cause the fig tree to wither?
Why did he cause the fig tree to wither? Yeah, that seemed a bit unfair, Paul. He was clearly not a gardener, Jesus, was he?
Well, I think one of the most important questions that most people want to know is about pain and suffering.
Yeah, why is there pain and suffering? And in all sorts of forms, isn't it? It's health and it's physical and it's all the stuff going on in our families and relationships and the big stuff in the world. It's probably one of the biggest questions nearly, isn't it?
How long, Lord?
Yes. A bit more time, please. A bit more time, please. I like the question that Jesus gets asked this morning. I actually think it's a corker. I actually think it's the question that might help us answer all the other questions. "Lord, teach us to pray." What a thing to ask Jesus. "Lord, teach us to pray." Back in the Old Testament, Solomon is allowed to ask for anything he wishes, and he asks for wisdom, doesn't he? I think this might be the wisest question yet. "Lord, teach us how to pray." How do you find praying? How's your prayer life? How do you find praying? It can be really hard work, can't it? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Somebody in our last congregation said it's a bit like that, really. That's probably how it goes. When it goes well, it goes well. When it doesn't, we struggle, doesn't it? Prayer is really important. The disciples have been journeying with Jesus. They've watched him do ministry. They've seen Jesus pray, and when Jesus prays, stuff happens, doesn't it? When Jesus prays, water gets turned into wine, and evil spirits come out of people, and people are healed, and captives are set free. It's an astonishing thing when Jesus prays, When Jesus prays, his prayers change the world, don't they? What do you think when you pray? Do your prayers change the world? They do, you know. When you pray, do you believe that your prayer makes a difference? Because it does. Because it does. Usually it begins at home, doesn't it? But it makes a difference. Prayer really makes a difference. Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples how they should pray, Lord, teach us how to pray. There's real desire in this request, isn't there? Lord, teach us to pray. And perhaps they were hoping he'd give them a little prayer that they could say rote every time. I don't believe that was ever fully Jesus' intention for this prayer. Although this prayer is so good that if the only words you ever prayed, the only prayer you ever uttered from your lips were the words of this prayer, you've got everything covered, haven't you? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That pretty much covers all bases, doesn't it? If that's the only prayer you ever pray, don't be ashamed of it. That is an awesome prayer. Jesus could have given them a great big textbook on prayer and a volume and said, well, go off and study and you need to do this and do that, and there's all sorts of acronyms and things you're supposed to use as prayer formulas. Do you know any of those? I think our favourite is, because we do it with the kids a lot, is teaspoon prayers. You know, you get a teaspoon and you write TSP on it and you start with thank you and then you do sorry and then you do please. But Jesus doesn't give us formulas. In fact, he almost just says, get on with it, doesn't he? And he says, when you pray, pray Our Father in heaven. Do those words shock you, calling God Father? Do you find that shocking? It's not, is it? Sometimes it can be. Can you call God Father? For the Jewish people in Jesus' day particularly, it was a shocking thing. You wouldn't dare be that intimate with God. They wouldn't even say God's name. Because they believed that it would bring God's anger on them. God's name was so holy, you daren't utter it, lest you defile it. And yet when the disciples asked Jesus to pray, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. And Jesus is trying to give us a different image of God. The image of God as Father is throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus wants us to remember a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. Because for some people, the image of a father can be a painful one, can't it? He wants us to know a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. And a perfect father, when the child asks for something, will reach down and listen, won't he? This is not about us having to reach God with our prayers. Jesus wants us to know that when we pray, God reaches down and listens. God's bending down his ear because he wants to hear what each of his children has to say to him. That's the image Jesus is giving us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. But for the Jewish people, that was shocking. It was a new idea that God actually could be so close, that God could be so intimate, that you could think of God in that special way. It's almost like rocking up to Buckingham Palace, isn't it, uninvited, and saying, g'day Liz, how you going? Is the kettle on? I mean, you wouldn't do it, would you? Well, you could try. I don't think you'd get past the big fence at the front, to be honest, but you're not going to get away with it, are you? But actually, we can call him Father. We have permission from Jesus to call him Father. We can call him Father. I have a friend who always begins his prayers with Our Loving Heavenly Dad, and I quite like that. Our Loving, because it reminds me that God wants to hear my prayer. Not just that God is obligated to hear my prayer. God wants to hear he wants to hear it when you pray. He wants to hear us. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. God's name is holy. Jesus respects those who don't want to be irreverent about God's name. He understands that the people listening are a bit surprised that you could call God Father. But it's okay, he said. This is not being irreverent. This is talking about the intimate relationship that we can have with God. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. One of the keys to our prayers is actually who we put in the driver's seat, isn't it? And we're praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. Because I don't know how it goes when you do your own bit of kingdom building. We all do it, don't we? We all put up our walls and our barriers and sometimes with good reasons and sometimes with bad reasons. And we all do it in families and relationships, and we see it in the world all the time. You know, when you turn the news to see the kingdom builders, you know, the Donald Trumps and all that. You see all of that going on. There's all sorts of kingdom builders and stuff going on. But we're not praying for any of that. We're actually praying for God's kingdom to come. And for God's will to be done. And just to make sure that there's no confusion on earth as in heaven. We're asking for God to make this like heaven. To be God's place. And when you pray like that, it changes your prayer, doesn't it? Because it's no longer about, I want, Lord, or Lord, I think this should happen. Because sometimes that happens, doesn't it? We saw that a little bit last week with Mary and Martha, didn't we? Martha got really fed up in the kitchen, and she got, you know, and maybe she had a good reason to, but she came in and she had a good whinge to God, and that she, good whinge to Jesus, and then she told Jesus what to do, didn't she? Well, don't you care that my sister's not doing her fair share of the chores? Tell her to come and help me. And we often pray like that, don't we? It's not a great way to pray, actually, is it? God's gracious, though, isn't he? He will listen to us. He listens and he hears and he loves us. But better that we should pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know about you and what you were taught growing up about prayer. I can remember one old lady in the church I grew up telling me quite clearly one day that it was very selfish ever to ask for anything for yourself before God. And yet, here's a prayer that's calling on God to give daily bread. If you don't like bread, it can be rice or something else, and I'm sure he can work with gluten-free or whatever you want. But give us this day our daily bread. Give us the things that we need for life. We don't struggle for bread, that, to be honest, do we? You know, the shops are full of it. You go to the Baker's Delight at the end of the day and they're tipping it out. There's huge waste in the amount of bread. You know, we don't know what it's like to be hungry. There are people in the world, though, that struggle for daily bread. In Jesus' day, they made just enough to get them through the day because there wasn't, you know, wasn't point storing bread to go off in that climate. They made just enough and then they'd make it the next. No ingredient was wasted. They'd make enough again the next day. It's about asking God that he would give us everything we need. Notice what Jesus thinks we need at the very end of the reading in verse 13 when he talks about, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's important in our prayer life, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive all those who have debts against us. There it is. It sounds like conditional love all of a sudden, doesn't it? You know, I thought it was unconditional, but it does sound conditional. Forgiveness is difficult, isn't it? It can be really difficult. And it's all right for Jesus to say this, but actually he doesn't know how that person hurt me and how badly it is and what they've done to me and how I've been betrayed. He does. Jesus does. And he needs us to forgive those who've sinned against us, who've wronged us. And to be clear, in the text, the weighting of the word for sin is different from what we're required to forgive of each other to what God requires for us. Compared to what anybody can ever do to us, our sinfulness against God is even greater. If God can forgive our sinfulness, our turning away, living without him, surely we can forgive the things that others might do to us. But it's difficult, and it's never really, I don't think, as easy as just saying, as somebody is just hearing an I'm sorry and saying, oh, there, that's okay, and moving on. That makes far too light of things. I don't think Jesus is saying to make light of things. I think forgiveness is very real. And actually, I think forgiveness is a lifestyle choice and a lifelong thing. I don't know about you if you've ever been hurt. I can think of people who've done things to me. And every time I think about it again, I can get cross again and I have to forgive them all over again. It's a decision to keep forgiving. And forgiveness is about giving life. God forgives us because he wants us to know life. He sent Jesus to win forgiveness of sins for us so that we might know life. And Jesus wants us to reflect our Father's glory by giving life to those who've wronged us, by forgiving them and setting them free. And actually, in forgiving them, we set ourselves free, don't we? Because no longer do we have to drag around this great big burden of anger and hurt. We can give it to God. Forgiveness is really important. And remember, we've asked for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as in heaven. Jesus is quite clear. God's will is that our sins would be forgiven. If we refuse to forgive, we're rejecting that whole part of the prayer. All of this is intertwined. We can't pray the Lord's Prayer and pick out one clause and keep the other. We can't just do the bits we like. It's all entangled together, and rightfully so. So after you've prayed and acknowledged your Father in heaven and the holiness of his name and prayed for the kingdom to come and the will to be done on earth as in heaven, and after we've grappled in our prayers with forgiveness and the big issues, Jesus says the final prayer is, pray, save us from the time of trial. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil in the older versions. And there's a couple of senses here. Jesus might be saying that being a person of faith is going to be difficult. You're going to be persecuted for believing in God. You're going to suffer for putting your trust in me. And when you suffer, when that's really difficult, when you want to say, why, Lord? Then this is great. Lord, teach us how to pray. Let's pray. Let's ask God. But there's an even bigger sense that Jesus wants us all to remember that one day, there's a day of judgment. That's not a popular thing to talk about, is it? Judgment anymore. We're not supposed to judge anybody else. And actually, even more unpopular than judging other people is we actually don't want to hear that we're going to be judged, because I don't know about you, but I'm all right, actually. But there is a day of judgment coming. One day when each of us will be called to account for how we've lived our lives with or without God. And when that day comes, Jesus says, pray, save us from the time of trial. Because that's why Jesus came, isn't it? To save us from the time of trial, that we might know life with him. This is a powerful, powerful prayer. It's simple, and Jesus wants us to know that prayer is simple, and yet it's very complex. There's a lot to weave through when you unpack this prayer. And maybe the disciples are struggling. Maybe you can see it because he helps them out then. He gives them some stories, doesn't he? And first of all, he uses a picture of hospitality. He talks about what happens when a visitor comes unexpectedly. At least we think this visitor came unexpectedly, but comes late to this man's house and he's got no bread to give him. Hospitality was really important for Jewish people. It's still important. Watch any program or film that's got a Jewish community in, and it's always about food. They have fellowship around food. Jesus had fellowship around food. We're going to have fellowship around food in a little while, and hopefully you'll come for coffee. Food is important. Fellowship is important. Good hospitality is really important. And if you don't offer it to the traveller or the stranger in your midst, then you bring dishonour on your household and your community and God. So this man has a problem because the visitors arrived. Maybe he just wasn't organised and didn't bake enough bread in the morning. Or maybe this visitor's come unannounced. But he needs bread so he can show hospitality to this visitor, and he doesn't have any. So he goes to his neighbour. And in that society, it wasn't just my responsibility to show hospitality to my visitors. It was the responsibility of our community. So if I don't have it, it's right to expect that my neighbour can help out. So he goes at midnight and he bangs on the door. And I don't know about you, but I'm not good at getting woken up. I'd not be that pleased. And I mean, I've got children after all. It's like, you know, really, can you have some decency and go somewhere else? This man's request is not indecent, and actually more important than waking up some children is that the stranger, that the traveller in their midst, would be shown welcome and hospitality. And so he keeps knocking on the door, and Jesus says, if this man won't give him bread because he's a friend and a neighbour, he will give him bread because he's persistent. Jesus wants us to be persistent in our prayers, and not to give up too easily. And while it's right sometimes to say, Lord, I understand that this is going to happen in your time and your place, we should also be persistent and believe when we pray that if we're praying according to God's will, something will happen and things will change. A really extreme example of that, when I was living in Japan as a missionary nearly 20 years ago, and I may have told you this story before, we were out one night. We used to go out and visit the homeless people on the streets and take them food and warm clothing and blankets, sort of around about midnight through to about 2 a.m. most nights. And I was teaching English in a rather Pentecostal Bible college. They were Jewish Koreans in this church, and they were very full on in their faith and their prayer life. And I invited them to come and help us as we went and worked with homeless people. And these two guys turned up, and as we went around, we met a homeless man on the street, and we'd met this man before, and he was fairly elderly. I couldn't tell you how old he was, but he was quite old, and his hands were seized up with arthritis, and his wrists were locked closed, and you could tell they hadn't been open for a long time because of the dirt that was caked between his fingers from scrabbling in the bins to get food. And and these two men with us, and I don't think this man was a Christian, and they sat down with him. They said, would you like us to pray for your hands to be healed? And the man very politely said yes, because in Japan you don't say no. You always give the answer that the person would want. It's about saving face. Yes, I'm sure he possibly did want his hands to be healed, but he said yes and he accepted their prayers. Well, they prayed full on in tongues and everything, and they prayed for about, it felt like about 10 minutes the first time they prayed for him. And when they stopped, they sort of opened their eyes and looked up, and they asked him if anything had changed. And he said, no, he was very polite, I'm really sorry, no, it hasn't worked. Well, we'll pray some more, they said. And down they went and they prayed again for another 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, and the poor man was a bit, what on earth was going on? After 15 minutes, they stopped and said, well, what about this time? Well, they are feeling a bit warm and tingly, he said. Well, we'll keep praying, they said. Another 15 minutes or so, that man was opening his hands when we left. Those people prayed expecting something to happen. Those people prayed believing that God would hear and do what he promised. And it's different with every one of us. I appreciate that when we pray. But they prayed and they expected. And to me, I watched that happen and I thought, how often do I stop after about 2 minutes and think, well, Lord, if it's not going to happen now in your time. And I make it as an excuse. It's not an excuse. That is a truth. But it's often my excuse to stop praying. And Jesus says, be persistent in your prayers. Don't stop praying. Even if you have to leave the person and go away, keep praying. The people on our list, we pray for them. I don't know if you noticed the other week that we had our friends here for Ethan's birthday, Meg and Stuart, and our two goddaughters, Hannah and Ruth. The Meg that was sitting here is the Meg that you all prayed for on the pew sheet all of last year, who had cancer. Well, she's hasn't got cancer anymore. She's been healed. She's really, really healthy. So prayer works. Keep praying. We should do more telling each other what happens when prayer works, and maybe we'd believe it a bit better. Prayer works. Keep praying. Don't stop. Jesus continues with the illustration, and he goes on, and he goes back to the image of a father. He said, but also for a mother. He said, those of you who've got children, he said, if they come and ask you for something to eat, would you give them a stone? Have you ever tried that? No, I haven't. I've been tempted sometimes because we've got fussy eaters to see if it make any difference, but no, haven't. Would you give them a snake, or would you give them a scorpion? No. Well, how much more then does your Heavenly Father know how to give you good things? You who are evil, if you know how to do it, how much more will your Heavenly Father? This is an encouragement from Jesus. Jesus is excited that the disciples have asked him to show them how to pray, and is excited when we pray. And it's powerful. And prayer changes our lives, and it does change the world. And while we don't always see instant answers to the big questions and the struggles we have, it changes the world because it starts by changing our heart, doesn't it? And if nothing else, it reminds us of how much our Father loves us. And that's enough, actually, isn't it? Our Father loves us. That's awesome. God loves us. That's powerful. So I don't know. I mean, I know some things, but I can't say I know all of your struggles, and I don't know what news you've had this week or haven't had, or what you're worried about. It might be about your finances or your job or your family or relationships. It might be about a diagnosis you've had. It might be about some sort of squabble you have with somebody else. It might be about the bigger things happening in the world. Why is the stuff happening in Nice and Turkey and Germany, and why are all these violent things suddenly happening in our world? And there seems to have been a lot of them in the last couple of weeks particularly. Why does that happen, God? The answer is, Lord, teach us to pray. Whenever you're confronted with any of those things, Lord, teach us to pray. So I think the challenge for us this week, but hopefully not just this week, is to remember to keep asking, Lord, teach me how to pray. Lord, when I give up in my prayers too easily, teach me how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray, because it's something we need to keep doing. And when I think about my prayer life and it waving up and down like that, I think when it gets really down, it's when I get too busy to pray, isn't it? When it goes well, it's when I make time with God. Remember that first part of the image that Jesus gives us of a loving Heavenly Father that bends over because he wants to hear what his child is saying. That's how God wants to hear our prayers. So don't be discouraged about your prayer life if you are, but just be persistent. Keep praying. Don't worry about not having the right words or not knowing what to say. Trust in God. Trust that our Heavenly Father has given us his Spirit to show us what to say. And even if there are still no words, Jesus has given us this great prayer. You can use it as an outline. You can use it as a whole prayer. If it's the only prayer you ever utter, it covers everything. But when you pray it, believe that God hears it and that he's going to act. Shall we pray now? Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, when the world surrounding us overwhelms us, teach us how to pray. Lord, when our friendships and families and relationships become difficult to cope with, when they become a struggle, teach us how to pray. When our finances and our circumstances overwhelm us, teach us how to pray. When worry and doubt and fear creep into our hearts about our relationship with you, teach us to pray. Lord, fill us with your Spirit and help us to know your love for us in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.